Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love, praise His holy name. Amen. Good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is good, and we thank Him for blessing us with another beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. Do you love God? I really love the Lord. If you love Him, sing it this morning. Yes, I really love the Lord. And you don't know. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, He gave me. Yes, and that's why I love, oh, I love Him. I really love the Lord. He's done so much for me. And he's watching over me. Watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. And you don't know
what He's done for me.
Yes, oh yes, He gave
me the victory.
Yes, and that's why I love
you.
Oh, I love Him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what He's done. God is good.
He gave me the victory. That's why I love Him. I love Him. I really love
the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you're visiting with us this morning, you are our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. It's just good to be here today and good to be alive today. And I hope you came here to worship our great God in heaven today. God is good. I think, matter of fact, I kind of want to come. Can somebody bring that podium down? You mind if I come down close? I know you're in the back. It's hard to see, but I kind of want to get close today, this morning. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. I'm diving right in because I want to attempt to do something that I'm hoping I'm able to do it. I want to read a full chapter in the Word of God in Acts chapter 10. Very transformational time in the life of the church, in history, period. And I want to do this. I want to try to read a full chapter, and it's a pretty long chapter, and make some quick notes, hopefully without running too fast. But you gotta promise me that you're not going to sleep. We came here to worship God, huh? And we're going to study the Word of God. And this is a teaching lesson. And I hope that you all have your student worshiping God caps on this morning. Amen. Acts chapter 10. Let's start. Let's begin. Now, there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius. I can't stop long. A centurion, and I love the way the Bible names individuals and pulls out real people, and those who would try to reject the Bible and discredit the Bible. You got to work hard to do that. You got to work too hard. Because the Bible pulls out real people that secular history records, and we know that these individuals lived, and it uses these people because they are real. And it gives Clint's credibility. I just want to make that note as we go through here. Caesarea Centurion. Centurion was a soldier who had at least 100 men, century 100 men under his charge of what was called the Italian cohort. A cohort had 500 to 600 soldiers. So this man was a man of authority, had at least probably 500 to 600 people in his charge. This is what the Bible says. He was a devout man. He was a religious man. Make note of that. He was a devout, pious man, one who feared God with all of his households. Please make note of that. And gave alms. He was a giver. He was a religious man. He was a giver. He gave alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. Now, centurion was not a Jew. He was not a Jew. He was a Roman. Very significant. The Romans were in charge of the world just about during this time. And it is noteworthy that a Roman would choose to be kind to Jews. And not only that, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, I started a study. I told you I was going to do some studies with numbers in the Bible. Bible numerology. It's the study of biblical numbers. And while I don't want to go off on a tangent, and because sometimes you can study numbers and it's just intriguing, and you don't know what the numbers mean, but God is a God of numbers. It really is, and you'll see that in a moment. He uses numbers, and some numbers mean certain things. I'll make some note of some as we go through here. But this man was a Jew. Was a Roman who gave to the Jews, and he was monotheistic. We talked about that a couple of weeks in his theology. Monotheistic. He was serving one God. One God, when his culture was polytheistic, and they served many gods. I mean, literally thousands of different gods that many of the Romans would give allegiance to. And so it was very interesting that he chose to serve this one God, while most of his people were polytheistic in their thinking. But he gave to the Jewish people, and he prayed to God continually. And then about the ninth hour, note that, that's a number, the ninth hour. Those of you that know your history, the ninth hour, that would be 3 p.m. in Jewish time. Remember the number 3, numerology, 3 p.m., hour of the day. He clearly saw a vision, an angel of God, who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. Now he saw a vision. Noteworthy, I got to make this note now. You know, don't be waiting to see a vision from God in our day, now time. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time, spake to the fathers through the prophets. In time past, he spake to the fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he speaks to us through who? Jesus Christ, his son. And the Bible tells us so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? That's we study the word of God. So don't be waiting on the vision. I'm not saying you're not going to dream. I'm not saying you're not going to see some things sometimes even in our minds. But that's how God dealt with Cornelius, especially during this transformational time. Now, you got to stay with me now. Stay in your words and stay with me as we go through this. He sees this vision. He calls his name. He's fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed. This Cornelius being much alarmed. He said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, this vision, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. This man had been praying. This man had been giving money. This man was religious. He was pious. No, you go, there's a lot of good people in the world today who are not in here this morning. There's a lot of good people who don't come to church, period. You know, some of them are in your family, kind folks in the neighborhood to give things. But know this also. Did your goodness, how much money you give to the United Way and the breast cancer awareness and how much money you give? Look. Now that's good, but that won't save your soul. Everybody needs a meal. If you're watching my way of television, if you're at home right now, you say, well, Brother Gary, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I do this, I do that. Well, you need, there is yet something, if you haven't obeyed God, there's yet something God wants you to do. Notice this, but I do believe that people that are sincere, that people that are searching and seeking, I believe that God will give the opportunity for that individual to obey him. As maybe that opportunity is today for somebody. But Cornelius, this was his day. He had been doing all of this good, giving alms to the people, praying to God. And the Bible says, I know sometimes in church of Christ, we say, well, but Gary, God don't hear sinners' prayer. Well, Be careful when you say that. And we know God, an alien sinner who's out in the world is praying to God. You know, God, you know, I don't believe God answers that kind of prayer. But seeking sin, notice this, wasn't the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he wasn't a religious man. He had been worshiping, and God sent somebody his way. You remember the Pharisee and the sinner in the book of Luke, I believe chapter 18 or 15, with the Pharisee, the sinner prayed, the Pharisee prayed, and the Bible says the sinner went away justified before God. See, people that's seeking God, I believe God going to make an opportunity for them to hear the word of God. And so Cornelius was not saved. And yes, this was a circumstance that was one time only, but still he was still an alien sinner at this time. He wasn't under the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says his prayers went up as a memorial unto him. That, and then verse 5. Now dispatch some. I'm moving fast. Those of you just came in, Acts chapter 10. Now dispatch some men to Joppa. This is like the vision telling him. Joppa is Caesarea. Remember, he's from Caesarea. We're going to have a pop quiz. You know that, huh? He's from Caesarea. And he says, now go to Joppa. You have to look up your history. I ought to leave this for you to do. Now I'm going to tell you what. Joppa is about 39, 40 miles from Caesarea. 39, 40 miles from Caesarea. He says, go to Joppa and send for a man named Simon. If you want to give this lesson a title, it's God at work. See, God's work is God's business. And he does it all kinds of ways. The providence of God. Sometimes something may be going on in your life. You don't understand what's going on. And God does. Maybe God's way of trying to reach you. You may not see it yet. Surely Cornelius, at this point, he don't know what's going on. He's just praying to God. The vision comes to him. He tells him what to do. Now dispatch some men to Joppa, 40 miles, and send for them a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. We know him. He's staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And then listen, do you understand this? God know everything we're doing every day. You realize that? So we don't serve a God. We serve a God that is concerned even about our daily activities. He knows what everybody is doing all the time. And God is moving people around. How is he able to do that? Because he knows where everybody is. He knows when to move them. He knows people's names. Guess what? He knows my name. And he knows your name. So don't think we walking around footloose fancy every time you go. Wherever you, where did you go yesterday? I don't want to tell everybody. Well, God already. He already know everywhere we go. He know who we stand. We know our kinfolk. He know. God know everything. He said, Simon, when the angel was speaking, the Bible says, when the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two. Notice this. The angel left. The vision came. He summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier. 2 + 1 is what? It's 3, isn't it? Yes, 2 + 1 = 3. There's that number 3 again. Okay? Of those who were his personal attendants. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now notice this. They didn't see the vision. Cornelius saw the vision. He explained everything to them, and they obey. See, in this world we live in, I don't care what situation we're in, we all have to submit to somebody. And you know what the thing is, we get to choose most of the time who we submit to. Even in the church, you know, in the church, in the work of the church, you know, when you baptize into Jesus Christ, you are submitting to God first. When you submit your will, say, I want to be baptized, but you baptize into the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, well, because you're baptized into this body, you're submitting yourself to the local elders of this body. Amen. Because the elders watch for our souls. I come and go as I will. You need to study your Bible a little bit more than that. Because it don't which way. And he, these men, they didn't see the vision, but they're under Cornelius' charge, and they did what Cornelius asked them to do. And the Bible says in verse number 8, and after he had spoken, verse number 9, on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching, notice the trend, notice the process and how this is working. He saw the vision, he tells them the vision, and the next day, they're approaching the city of Joppa. Peter went up to the housetop about the 6th. Now notice this is in Joppa. Cornelius is in Caesarea. And then now, this is God at work again. Peter is in Joppa. On the next day, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. He says, but he became hungry and he was desiring to eat. But while he was there making preparations, he fell in a trance and he saw that the sky opened and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there, I'm reading too fast. And there were all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures and earths and birds of the air. A voice came to him saying, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, by no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything unholy, unclean. Notice this. You have to know something about the old law. Under the old law, they couldn't eat everything. And all these animals are coming down. He's seeing a vision. He's seeing all these animals. And they couldn't eat pigs. They couldn't eat goats. All these animals coming down. And Peter, and the thing said, rise, Peter. You know, in King James, rise, Peter, slay and eat. Some of you say that after you pray, when it's time to eat. Slay and eat. Peter said, no, Lord, I can't eat all of that. But who is he talking to? He's talking to God. There's fixing to be a great big change in history, in time. Judaism is the law. Judaism is what the children of Israel were under. But God makes this transfer. It's already been made, and it's in effect. This is God at work. And even some, you know, and most of us resist. We resist change, and, you know, especially when something has been ingrained in us. You're doing things. So you know, you're used to going to the altar and talking to a man behind a box and bowing down as a priest. You're used to doing that because all you've been doing, you're used to wearing beads and doing things. And that's the way you were raised. That's what you were under. And here he tells Peter, look at what I call clean. Don't you say it's not clean. Let me read a little bit further. But Peter said, verse 15, again a voice came to him a second time. Notice this, a second time. What God has clean, no longer consider unholy. Yeah. He said it one time, came to him a second time. Then the Bible says, this happened how many times? Three times. It's the number of completeness. There's so many of this. I wish I had time to cover all the times. There were three times things happened in the Bible. You know, you remember Jesus was in the garden and he prayed to God three times. Lord, if it's thy will, let this cup pass. And three times he prayed. After the third time, look, don't come to me no more. That's it. Jesus' ministry lasted about 3 years. You know, they put Jesus on the cross at the third hour of the day. He went to the cross. The Bible says from 12 o'clock, from the sixth hour, 12 o'clock to the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, it was darkness all over the earth. 3 hours it was. And Jesus died at 3 p.m. according to the scripture. But Jesus also said, if you destroy this temple, in 3 days. I'm going to raise it up. You remember that? Ooh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me go back. Okay. This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. No more, Peter. No more. In other words, he's saying, you get my point? Yes, yeah, I'm not coming to you again. Do what I said do. That's what he was saying to him. Verse 17. I'm going to try to get through this whole chapter. While Peter was greatly perplexed. Notice this. I highlighted that in my Bible, in my notes. He greeted. Peter still didn't understand. Some things that go in our life, we don't understand it all at the same time. We don't understand what's going on. Somebody maybe you have just heard this period. I wanted our children, everybody in the church to hear this. You will misunderstand the whole Bible if you don't understand this transformation that's about to happen. In religion, there's so much religious confusion because folk don't understand that God, the Old Testament law, the Old Testament teaching, the Old Testament teachings, they are nailed to the cross. Not that everything under the Old Testament is not relevant for our lives. We read the Old Testament for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. But you got to understand this great transformation because you got to understand how God views everybody in the whole world. And all this happened. Peter had all this wonderful experience, but he still, Lord, what you trying to tell me? He was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be. And just because you confused don't mean God confused. God's plans are still in place, brothers and sisters in Christ. Behold, the men who had been sent by Caesarea, by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon House, appeared at the gate. At Peter's most confusing moment, the men appeared. The Bible says, and calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, and he was thinking about what was going on, as I hope we do, even as we study the Word of God. Sometimes people don't read the Bible because I tried reading the Bible, but I just, Brother Gary, I don't understand it. Well, keep reading. I mean, you know, seriously, keep reading it, because you surely won't understand if you don't do what? If you don't read it. See, it's like anything else. Did you understand algebra when you first went into class? You know, tell you write an English paper and tells you the complex analysis of a sentence, and you tell your predicate, nouns and pre-nouns, pronouns, and you're in there. You don't know what's going on. How do you learn? You keep studying it. You keep looking at it. You keep practicing. You keep trying. And I believe that God will reveal to his meaning to all of us if we continue to study his word. He said, the Bible says this. He was reflecting on the vision. The Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Three men. There it is again, numbers. But get up, go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings. For I have sent them myself. Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I'm the one you're looking for. What is the reason for which you've come? They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to the house and hear a message from you. A message from you. So he invited them in and gave them lodging. And on the next day, he got up and went with them. And some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Verse 24. You still with me, church? Anybody asleep yet? Wake up. On the following day, he entered Caesarea, 40 miles away. Notice how this is happening now. 40 miles away. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. You think Cornelius not hungry for, man, I got to find out what's going on here. And you know, I hope anybody, anybody that's confused. I mean, people come to church for different reasons. We have some visitors, whoever come, maybe some been coming for a long time. You're trying to find purpose. Jesus, when he was here, he says, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because we live in a world of confusion. We do. But you know, but isn't it profound, though? When you hear the truth, I think you know it. Not because of the eloquence of a teacher. The Holy Spirit guides us and it convicts us when you hear truth. Sometimes you hear foolishness and it's like, you know, that don't sound right. But here, Cornelius, he knows this is a vision from God. And he sends these men and he is waiting. Not only is he, because not only do you want to, you want some good news. When you love people, you want them to hear the same good news. Yeah. Yeah, you get something good, don't sit on it. Yes. Yeah, he called all his rest. It's good that he had that influence too. I mean, and I know we have patriarchs and matriarchs in here in the church. You know, brother Vernon Lewis Sr. was baptized here. And brother Vernon Lewis Jr., his son, has been baptized. And his children, and you know, it's amazing. Sometimes we come to work, and they all will be up here at the table at the same time. His grandson back there in the booth, because Brother Vernon Lewis Sr., I mean, this is important. Now, what, is there anything else more important than our souls? He said, if this is salvation for my eternal soul, don't I want my children and my grandchildren and my all my kinfolk and my relatives and my friends to have the same thing? Well, I'm telling you, listen, I'm telling my girls, my wife, you know, look, listen, I want them to be saved. I got four little grandchildren, four of them. And you know, and they, when they go to Bible class, I say, what you learn in Bible class today? Jesus loved me. I say, yes, he does. That's how all of us should be. Just like Cornelius would. All of us should want, desire our loved ones to be saved. There's no greater gift you can give anybody than the truth of the God. Notice this. You can't ram it down their throat, but you can make sure that they know about it. Amen, somebody. Amen. Yeah, and Cornelius, he called everybody together. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet and worshiped him. He fell at his feet and worshiped Peter. That's kind of a normal reaction when you feel greatness comes. You're like, you know, Cornelius, no, he, I don't know. This is a man of God. And he fell at his feet and worshiped. Yeah. But Peter raised him up. And he said, stand up, I too am a man. Yeah. Peter said, now that's no word. Because there are people today who won't tell people, stand up. Folk, you know, people start praising you. You know, that's why I don't want nobody. Listen, I'm just a carrier. I'm a vessel used by God. Amen, somebody. That's why I don't, you know, I like nice things, but I can't afford it, matter of fact, but I like to wear, you know, nice clothes. But look, I don't want nothing too flamboyant. You know why? Because I don't want to draw too much attention to Brugger. Because I want to stay humble. And when I look at Jesus, that's the model Jesus presented. Amen, somebody. You don't need to come up here, walk up here, and put a cloak on me, a crown on me. You don't need to bow your head. You don't need to call me reverend because I'm not a reverend. As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody in the Bible, period, that was ever referred to as reverend. Nobody. I mean, we're studying right now. Oh, okay, you sure about that? Okay, find it and bring it to me. You think about the Bible called Pope? We're just talking. You go to places and folk, not only do they bow, they kiss the ground and stay down there. Old people who came to get up. And Peter, now notice this, I know, but yeah, you know, people going to do that. Peter say, get up. People say, get up. This is the word. I like stuff. I love stuff. People can't argue with that. That don't make no sense. Well, you're talking with the Bible. Yeah, so. He said, I too am just a man. That keep us all in the right place. Because, see, as soon as you start praising folk, they're going to fall, and you're going to fall right with them. And let me finish. I said I'm going to finish. I'm trying to finish at 9 o'clock. Okay, Acts 10:27. And as he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. Peter found many people. So now Peter is in Caesarea. And he found many people. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew. This is in history again. To associate with a foreigner or and to visit him. Now, so I told you this is very transformational. Jews in that day, you have to go back to Old Testament history. Your Jews in that day to be associated. Now, these are the Romans who were oppressing them anyway. And it's so noteworthy that this Roman would even, not only that the Jew would go to the Roman, but that this Roman and his charge and his authority, that he would even receive Jews in this manner. And Cornelius is taking the lead as some of us, somebody in your family where you are, somebody who has some conviction when you know something is right, is not going to happen till you take the lead. And if you take the lead, others will. But it does take some conviction. It takes some knowing that you're doing was right. Cornelius says, everybody, I want my cousins, friends, servants, everybody, we're going to hear what this man has to say. You be there. Peter says, and then listen to this. And yet God has shown me, now Peter's talking, God has shown me, he showed me three times. And I'm not, he's shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. Yeah, so. If God don't call, then you have, in this world today, we have Asians, Africans, Nigerians, we have Caucasians, Italian, Cubans, all different races, Spanish, we all different races, all different nationalities. In church, understand this, with God, everybody means the same. Everybody, we need to get this out of our mind. We ought to be able to love everybody. We ought to be able to communicate with everybody. We ought to be able to tolerate everybody and want to understand everybody. That's the spirit that we must have if we're going to be the church of God, the kingdom of God, as we would on this earth. He says, call no man unclean. So I'm just hoping that Peter, this was profound. It really was. And he says, I've seen it. Verse 29. That is why I came without even raising any objections when I was sent for. So I asked for what reason you've sent me. Cornelius said, 4 days ago. Now notice, Peter still hadn't heard Cornelius' vision. All Peter saw was his vision that, look, I'm supposed to not anybody God sends me to, I'm supposed to go. I know you're a Roman, but God told me to go. I'm supposed to go. But Peter still didn't know exactly why God wanted him to go. Now notice this now. It says this. He says, now, so why did you send for me, Cornelius? 4 days ago, now Cornelius tells him his vision. What happened? Peter told him. Then when we talking to folk, you know, brothers, sisters, when we having Bible classes, folk, don't you just yap, right, and just choke everybody with everything you know in every scripture you know? Yes, sir. Amen. Ask people their story.
Yes.
Ask people, well, look, how did you, some people say, bro, I'm saved. How were you saved?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes people are offended by this word. But just shut up and be quiet. Just listen to people. Because some people want to say what's in their hearts. And see, it's respect and kindness when you stop, and then they think that you really care about what's in them. So be quiet and listen as Peter listened to Cornelius. 4 days ago, I was praying at my house during the ninth hour. Let's see, some of you that's been paying attention. What time is the ninth hour? You think this accident? God at work. Behold, a man stood before me, shining in garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Verse 30. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately. I sent for you immediately. Today is the day of salvation. And you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present. Notice, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So then faith comes by
hearing.
Yeah, listen. This is the way for everybody. No other way. This is God's way that we hear the gospel. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now. You remember earlier he said he was greatly perplexed. Boom, bing, bow. Now I know why God gave me that vision. Now I know. Notice, this is the same Peter who had preached the first gospel sermon on in Acts chapter 2. And he's like, boom, now, oh, I'm ready now. I know what to tell you now. It is, I most certainly now understand now that God is no one to show partiality. No respect to person with God. I know we live in this area, culturally, you know, we are predominantly an African-American congregation as far as the numbers are concerned, but we have whites, blacks, Spanish in our congregation. And I dream of the day that we have even more of a rainbow of individuals who are members locally of this body. And then we have other extensions and mission areas all over, literally all over this land. But that's how God would have us to be. And he says, I see it. I see it clearly. He says, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what's right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, the Jews, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism, which John proclaimed. He would say, Cornelius, you know just what happened. You heard about Jesus. And perhaps that's what Cornelius is now. He's worshiping one God, and he heard about Jesus, and perhaps he was doing his own investigation, and he saw it. He said, "Man, these folk, man, this is what we need to be doing." But he didn't know; it wasn't accessible at the time. He says, "You know all of these things, and you know that you know of Jesus of Nazareth." Man, that's some people that's out in the world now that know more Bible than many of us know. Amen, somebody. I know it. I remember when Brother Vernon knows much of the Bible. You sit down and go have Bible class with Brother Vernon and you can't find Israel in the Bible yourself? Be careful how we denounce and how we label people and say, well, they out in the world. And listen to what they say. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing. This is the gospel story, church. Listen now. When he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, but God was with him. This is the gospel story. You see, some of us, we want to get folk in the church. Yeah. Tell them about the church, but Gary, not before you tell them about Jesus. That's the gospel message. Don't skip. You can't skip that part where they already know it. Tell them again. And he goes through telling them, you know about this Jesus who went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses. He tells him, now, Cornelius, I'm an apostle. I'm a witness of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on the cross. God raised him up on the what day, church? He raised him up on the third day. All this consistency with God, it lends credibility to the Bible. It lends credibility to God's word. It lends credibility to our faith, because we know it was not by happenstance. It was by a plan from a one God who had it in his mind and was consistent all the way through it. God at work. Granted that he became visible not to all people but to witnesses. And when he came back on the third day, to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is to us. Peter, I'm one of the apostles who ate and drank after he arose from the dead, and he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one. No, there's one. This is the one who has been anointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Because there ain't but one, excuse my French, my language, there is not but one way to God. Now, you can't be a Jew under Jewish law, and I'm a Gentile serving polytheistic gods, and get to the one God. You must come through Jesus Christ and what he has established for all times for everybody. Since Solomon testified that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and of the dead, all of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Everyone. What do you think Cornelius and his family and his household are doing at this time? Do you think that they are sleeping? Do you think that they are doing something else? They're listening to this man and he's preaching the gospel to them and he's telling them that this message, this is the message you're waiting to hear, that everybody, you too, all of us can be saved by the grace of God. And says, and you can have forgiveness of sins. Oh, Cornelius must have been burning inside. As they did in Acts chapter 2, and they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? What else do I have to do? Peter's still standing with these men. The Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed. Now, Peter didn't come by himself to the men. Other Jews came with him. Circumcised men, other Jews came. They are listening to the message. I mean, they just, you know, like church folk to say, some of us in here that's not halfway asleep right now. Some of us in here right now, even you've been saved, you baptized, but when you hear the gospel, it just tingle, makes you tingle inside. Because you know, that's what I'm in. I know I did it God's way. And if something happened to me today, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And they were amazed. They listened to this. They say, Peter, what is going on here? These Gentiles are hearing it. And the Holy Spirit was poured out, the supernatural portion of the Holy Spirit. As on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the apostles, they were able to speak in tongues. Now, we don't do that today. They were able to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit was poured out, an extra portion of them, but they were able to speak in tongues and do other things. This is for men. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did. Can he? You know, he said that because he knew other Jews were with him. He didn't want no trouble out of them. So now y'all see what's happening just like I'm seeing what's happening. So there's no way I'm going to refuse these folk to be baptized. Are we Jewish? Yeah, and he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they were baptized. First time Gentiles introduced into the Church of Christ in the Bible, baptized. The gospel is for everybody. It's for all the whole world. And I know this is a history lesson for some, but every now and then I just like to remind us, those of us in the church, what we have, what we are part of, how precious it is. God is no respecter person. Anybody, maybe there's someone here who needs to be obeyed the gospel. And I know this is an 8 o'clock service. You don't accidentally come to 8 o'clock service. You got God on your mind. I've had primarily everybody in here is baptized, but not everybody is. And the day you hear his voice, you harden not your heart. Notice. Now, they are Gentiles. Now they are baptized into the one body. So what is the here? They're Gentiles. Whatever polytheistic thinking, whatever polytheistic teaching, whatever other gods they were associated with, as Cornelius said, they obviously already committed to one God, but whatever gods they were associated with, they had to let it go. They are in the body of Christ. They're in the kingdom of God. They're in the church of God. They're in the church of Christ. The only one you can read about in the Bible. And you too, when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're added to the body of Christ by God himself. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32, and be baptized in water as they were baptized in Acts 2, 38, Mark 16, 16, Acts 10, 45, 46. You too also can be added to the body of Christ just as they did. And Lord have mercy, you think that wasn't a happy house? Everybody in the house got baptized. Everybody. And then after they got baptized, the Bible says they asked them to stay up for a few. Paul, come stay with us and fellowship with us some more. So maybe there's someone here who needs to be baptized. Maybe there's someone here who has something on their heart that need to get right with God before you leave here today. Maybe there's someone here who has a prayer request. Won't you come to Christ this morning as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Jesus for the cleansing. How are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusting in His grace? This hour you washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood of the Lamb, do you rest easy? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments? White in the blood of the Lamb. Ooh. Be ready for the mass.
Are you washed in the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you God? In the blood. You can still come, even as we sit, you can come. Be with and be washed in the blood.